Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Rotten Rumble podcast. My name is Richard, and today is... Okay, so here's the thing. First, I would like to wish everyone a happy 2020. We have made it, you guys. I'm so proud of you guys. It has been a wild ride, indeed. 2019, goodbye. Hello, 2020. But I don't think that I should be celebrating just yet, especially because, one, Australia is on fire, and two, there's this whole thing that's going on with Iran, which I'm not gonna lie, I'm not gonna get into because I don't know exactly the whole story behind it. I just have to do more research on it, but I don't like how things are shaping out. This is my opinion. I just don't like how things are shaping out with Iran and America. It's scary. That's just all it is. It's just fucking scary. And as for Australia, I am so devastated as to what is happening in Australia. All those animals that have been lost and all the people that are in danger. And notice how I said, like, all the animals that were lost in it? Because the people are fine. The people evacuated. These animals honestly have nowhere else to go. This is their home. This is all they've ever known. So it's just really sad to see. I just hope that, you know, the wildlife in Australia can bounce back some miraculous way. Hopefully that they do something to help the wildlife kind of repopulate itself, because they're half a billion, from what I saw from a article, that half a billion animals have already been lost to the Australian wildfires. There are actually two stories in this episode today about the wildfires. So stay tuned for that. There's one of my favorite ones, and there's the other one that really just fucking pisses me off. And also, I would like to just give a little update on the studio that I'm supposed to be helping build. So here is the deal. The studio is going to take a little bit longer than I expected. Right now, I'm kind of recording in the room that's going to be the second part of the studio. But, you know, we're just kind of poor right now, and we can't afford the materials we need. So it just kind of... it's a little bit hard right now. But that's not going to stop me from recording episodes. I've recorded episodes in my room for the longest time, but then I just got kind of tired of it because there's too much noise. There's just too much noise everywhere. So hopefully when the room is up and running, I can buy some soundproofing foam so I can block all the noise that is coming from the outside world, because there's a good side and downside to recording in here. The good side is that none of my family members can bother me because I told them that I'm going to be recording something in here, so don't interrupt. The downside is my dog is unapologetically loud. He's not loud on purpose. He just happens to be so loud. And he's a Jack Russell Terrier. I don't know. I don't understand how so much noise can come from a tiny dog like that. It baffles me. But there he is, just fucking making noise like crazy. Oh, I love that dog. I love that dog so much, but he chews all the shit I buy him. He makes so much noise. And I finally found a name for him. His official English name, because his Spanish name was Solo Vino, which means he came on his own, nothing's worse than a dad joke in Spanish. You know what I mean? My stepdad named him Solovino, and it's one of the dumbest fucking names I've ever heard on a dog. So I was trying to rattle my brain and figure out what to name him in English, and then me and my friends were talking, and I was saying something about how he was a Jack Russell Terrier, and my friend said, oh, just like Courage the Cowardly Dog, the old cartoon show. Courage just so happened to be like a Jack Russell Terrier. So I decided that I was going to name him Courage the Cowardly Dog, because he's actually kind of scared of everyone else that isn't me. I have friends that absolutely adore him to the bone, but he does not get near them because he is terrified of them, which kind of sucks, but, I mean, he's my baby boy, not yours. It's just, sorry, that's way too douchey, but, yeah, that's the whole situation. So now his official English name and his official name is Courage the Cowardly Dog, even though my stepdad, who only speaks Spanish, will continue to call him Solovino, which, whatever. It's not your dog at this point. It's my dog. But now with that all out of the way, let's get into our first article of the episode, shall we? So I guess Ariana Grande is being sued again by the same man who accused her of failing to learn her lesson. First of all, this is already insane off the bat. Like, wow, you do have a lot of balls, don't you, for saying that shit. Alright, so if you remember from a while ago, a paparazzi person by the name of Robert Barbera had filed a lawsuit against Ariana Grande because Ariana used one of his pictures and posted it on Instagram. Now, mind you, the picture was not about anything else. It was just Ariana. He was taking pictures of Ariana Grande when Ariana decided to take the picture and post it on Instagram. You see where the confusion kind of comes up? It's her in the picture. The subject of the picture is her. But the fact that Ariana took the picture without his approval makes it all just kind of crazy. But it's her in the picture. Well, apparently, Ariana did it again, and Robert, Mr. Barbera, is filing a lawsuit against Ariana. According to this article from The Blast, the court document obtained by The Blast, the New York-based photographer Robert Barbera has filed the federal lawsuit against Ariana Grande and her company, Grandari Inc. Okay, Grandari Inc., that's her company. She has a company? Oh my god, I did not know that. Okay. In the lawsuit, Barbera explains he makes his money by selling prints of his work. He took a photograph of Grande while exiting a building in New York with a male friend. She's wearing a white sweatshirt with her album cover printed on the front. I believe this is Thank You Next, because I remember, I don't know, anyways, let's keep reading on to it. Barbera said, ran the photograph on their Instagram story on their Instagram page to promote their brand and clothing by saying, my merch is so cute and comfy, swipe up to get the look on the photograph. He explains, defendant did not license the photograph from plaintiff for its Instagram page, nor did defendant have plaintiff's permission or consent to publish the photograph on its Instagram page. Now, here's the thing, right? It's her in the picture. So, I don't know, because, like, copyright and, you know, someone's intelligent, like, someone's work is up to debate. It's not just a straightforward thing. That's something that has been happening with, on YouTube, is content. Where the content comes, how to get, where to get, when to get asked for permission and all this kind of shit. It's just so fucking convoluted. This guy took a picture of Ariana to put on the tabloids or whatever magazine he was working for or whatever he was doing. He was taking a picture of Ariana Grande, and Ariana took the picture of herself, of her photographed, and posted it to promote her merch. And this guy is saying because she used the picture to promote something without his consent that he should get money for it. But it's really confusing. But like back in July 2019, I'm reading from the article again. Back in July 2019, Grande settled a separate $50,000 loss. Oh god, I'm just a mess today. Okay, Grande settled a separate $50,000 lawsuit brought by Barbera. In the suit, he accused her of taking another picture he took and posting it to promote her album Sweetener. Barbera accused Grande of not learning her lesson and once again ripping him off. He is suing for copyright infringement. The lawsuit is seeking more than the normal $150,000 per infringement. The photographer... The photographer is asking the court to order Grande to pay him all profits, income, receipts, or other benefits derived from defendant as a result of its unlawful conduct, along with punitive damages. You see why this whole story is a little confusing? Like, from a technical standpoint, yes, Ariana did take the picture without his permission to use it for her own benefit, but it's her in the picture. So it's just kind of confusing as to, from a legal standpoint, I totally understand where it's coming from. But from a normal point of view, I could see why this would be fucking insane. This is dumb. It's from a normal person's point of view, someone who is a fan or the newer generation of Ariana Grande fans could see that this guy is trying to get clout. He's just trying to get attention. He's trying to get Ariana's money. But from a legal standpoint, he does technically have a point, which really sucks to say, but I mean, it's just all according to what the law says. But I mean, this isn't the first time Ariana has been met with a very strange legal case. I forget what year it is. Maybe it was a year or two ago. No, I think it was this year. Ariana Grande went and decided she was going to sue Forever 21 for posting merch. It's quite similar to hers. Kind of like the little hairball, the little balls of that you put in your hair. And all this other kind of merch. And so she decided to take legal action against Forever 21, telling them to immediately stop selling this merch. But it wasn't met... It was met with, like, some controversy, because... What was it? Season 9? Contestant of RuPaul's Drag Race, Pheromone. So Pheromone went on Twitter to tag Ariana, basically saying, oh, it's okay for you to sue somebody for copying your style, but God forbid if I try to say something about you copying my style. Because Ariana did copy an outfit that Pheromone created in her Seven Rings video. So Ariana wore the outfit that was Pheromone's in her Seven Rings video, and Farrah didn't see any money from it. They just ripped her style. They just copied her look without her permission. So, copyright infringement, what is someone's content, and, you know, these Ariana Grande lawsuits that she has to deal with, they're so fucking confusing. I just don't understand. What they need to do is they need to get a few people together and actually revise the copyright intellectual property thing so it makes a little bit more sense. But I mean, it's still going to be very convoluted no matter what you do, because intellectual property is just subjective, just like the property itself is subjective. It just depends on the situation and what's going on with it. So there's that. So, do you remember when I said at the beginning of this episode that there are two Australian fire stories that, one I love and one I hate? Alright, so we're gonna start with the one I love. So, this article is brought to you by Unilad, and it is titled, Instagram Model Raises $100,000 for Australian Bushfires by Selling Nudes for $10. And the quote goes, an Instagram model is using her influence to help combat the bushfire crisis in Australia by selling her nudes for $10 each. American influencer Kaylin Ward has already been raising more than $100,000 for the cause after offering to send a nude photo of herself to any person who donates at least $10 to any organization to help battling the devastating fires. But despite the charitable cause, some people have chosen to distribute her nudes for free. Kaylin wrote on Twitter, People that have donated and offering my nudes for free to those who haven't, honestly, y'all are so sick and you're about to ruin it for everyone. So far, the bushfire has killed 24 people and ravaged more than 1,500 homes and destroyed more than 3.6 million hectares of land, killing nearly 500 million animals in the process. 500 million. Yeah, so see. Heartbreakingly, the fires aren't showing signs of slowing down anytime soon, and with almost 2 months left of blazing summer left in Australia, with New South Wales officially in a state of emergency. So, yeah, that's the whole situation that's going on. She is just trying to raise money for Australia, and people are just kind of giving them away, giving her nudes to people who, you know, don't even have to pay, which is really gross. I like the idea of her selling nudes for $10 and just being like, here, see? Who wants my nudes? Come get them. $10 to donation of your choice that helps Australia get better. I think it's fantastic. What was her name? Kaylin Ward. There was also something that was going on with her. She is... from the last I saw, she was... So here's what's going on. So, Kaylin Ward, the nude philanthropist, has been disowned by her family. She has had her Instagram shut down, and she is also... Her boyfriend has broken up with her and has refused to talk to her. And that's the whole situation. Because she is doing this cause for Australia, and it just, I feel bad for her, but she's not bothered at all. I just found this BuzzFeed article. The model who went viral for offering nudes in exchange for donations to Australia says she's raised an estimate $1 million. This is on the 7th of January, and it good for her, man. Shit. But lo and behold, Instagram has to come in and ruin it. In a screenshot posted by Ward, Instagram said she had posted sexually suggestive content. Though the model denies she broke any rules, she tried to reach out to Instagram but hasn't heard back. This account was disabled for violating our policies. Offering nude images is not allowed on Instagram, a Facebook spokesperson told BuzzFeed News. Now fake accounts trying to capitalize on her viral do-goodings are popping up. Yes! This is fantastic. I love the internet. Ward, however, has pledged to keep replying to as many DMs as she and her team can. In a tweet, she posted, my Instagram got deactivated, my family disowned me, and the guy I liked won't talk to me. Oh, it was the guy she liked, not her boyfriend, I'm sorry. And the guy I liked won't talk to me all because of that tweet. But fuck it. Save the koalas. She needs to be nominated for Person of the Year. Because if she doesn't, I don't know what else to say. Ward said, in addition to a concern for what's happening in Australia and its impact on the environment, it's an issue that hits close to home. Last summer, she had to flee the car fire in California. Oh, I remember that. Ooh, remember that last summer when the California fire ravaged the land and just fucked everyone's, like, so many people went homeless because the fire just burned their house down. It was awful, but I understand why she's doing this, and I applaud her for it. I think she should just keep going with this. And I wonder if I can get a nude from her. Even though I'm a gay man, yes, I wouldn't mind getting a nude. I wouldn't mind getting a nude from her. That'd be really cool. I could just be like, hey, I donated and got this nude from Kaylin Ward. Isn't this cool? Honestly, no, probably not. Oh well. You gotta do what you gotta do, you know? Or I can ask, instead of a nude, if I can get a shout out for my podcast. Ooh, I think I might have to DM her and ask if maybe instead of a nude, I can get a shout out for donating. That'd be really cool. And also, it would be helping Australia as well. I don't have much money, but helping Australia would be really cool. And also getting a shout out at the same time would be really dope. Let's find out. So now we're going to move into the story that I don't like, and this is the one that just really pisses me off. So this article is brought to you by CNN World, and it's called Police in Australia Are Accusing 24 People of Deliberately Setting Bushfires. The Australian wildfires are a countrywide catastrophe, mainly caused by drought and extreme heat, but dozens of people are directly to blame for some of the problems, officials say. Police have charged at least 24 people for intentionally starting bushfires in the state of New South Wales, according to a statement the New South Wales Police released Monday. NSW police have taken legal action against 183 people, 40 of whom are juveniles, for fire-related offenses since November 8th. The statement said the legal actions range from cautious to criminal charges. Out of 183 people, 53 have received cautions or criminal charges for failing to comply with a total fire ban, and 47 are accused of discarding a lit cigarette or match on land, according to police statements. How hard is it to put out a cigarette? Like, really, I smoked for, what, 7 years? So since I was 15? 11, actually. No, 11. Since I'm 26 now. So, I had 11 years I smoked. And not once did I ever set anything out here on fire where I live. How hard is it for people to take the time out of their life to put a cigarette out? It's not hard. You can use a tissue and you can spit in it and you can put it out like that. That's what I did. You can rub it against your shoe and make sure that the ashes are all the embers are gone. I did that too. You can put it out on the sidewalk and then throw it away in a trash can. I did that too. Although my friend did that one time and actually almost set the trash can on fire because he didn't put it out properly. Like, put out your cigarettes, for God's sake. I'm not trying to shame people for smoking cigarettes, although you should quit. But all I'm saying is, fucking put it out properly. It doesn't take that much time. Oh, God. But anyways, back to the article. At least 24 people have died nationwide during this fire season. While the fires have touched every state in Australia, New South Wales has been the hardest hit. Oof. And I did see the map of the fires that are happening, and they compared it to, like, the size of America, and Jesus, the whole country, the whole USA was on fire, basically. So, it's even worse for Australians right now. It's awful. It's terrible. It's so heartbreaking to see, especially. So, 24 people have been killed from the bushfires, and I've seen pictures of them, and they look awful. I am hoping that a massive rainstorm happens in Australia more often. I did hear that rain did hit Australia, but I want more rain. I want Australia to be doused in rain, and I thought I had seen something about, like, making artificial clouds, but apparently that's fake. Oh, that sucks, though. Wouldn't that be amazing to be able to just kind of generate clouds and kind of encourage rain? But no, apparently not. I just hope that everyone's all right in Australia. And I hope, this is what I'm hoping, because it says in the article, nearly 500 million animals have been affected by the fires in NSW alone, and millions of them are potentially dead. It might have effect on kind of the food chain in Australia. All I hope is that the people of Australia can help encourage the wildlife to repopulate and grow back. And I hope that they plant trees again to kind of help the land grow. Because this is tragic. Oh my God. Like, an entire country is on fire, and just, there's nothing we can really do except try to send firefighters over and donate money and kind of help Australia rebuild itself. I just hope for an outcome to this, a positive outcome. I just hope that Australia can bounce back from this, because it would suck to lose Australia like this. Ooh, it would really suck. My thoughts and prayers go out to you, but I'm going to go out and donate $10 and let Kaylin Ward know that I donated $10. So, I'm standing right behind you, Australia. Sorry, this is happening to your country. Ooh, do you guys... Okay, so, you know, as of right now, Burger King is still selling the Impossible Burger, right? It's a burger, it's a Whopper that's supposed to taste like an actual meat burger, but it's a vegetarian option. Oh my god. Okay, so, I just found this NBC News article titled, "The Impossible Burger Won't Be Coming to McDonald's Anytime Soon." So, here's the backstory, right? Burger King announced the burger called the Impossible Burger that was vegetarian friendly. It was supposed to be an alternative to the original Whopper that's, you know, with an actual meat patty. Well, apparently... apparently, the Impossible Burger has a lot more estrogen than a regular burger. Oh no! That's a lot of female hormones. Let me just read the article to you guys. Impossible Foods is no longer trying to win a coveted deal to supply McDonald's Corp with plant-based burgers, telling Reuters it cannot produce enough of its imitation meat to partners with the world's number one fast food chain. It is the latest twist in the battle of imitation meat makers hoping to convince more restaurants to offer their patties, but it was unclear how far talks have progressed with McDonald's, which declined to comment on the discussion. So the stock has risen earlier in the day on Impossible's unveiling of its plant-based pork products at the International Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas on Monday, spurring further optimism about the sector. Referring to McDonald's Impossible Food CEO Pat Brown told Reuters in an interview, "It would be stupid for us to be vying for them right now. Having more big customers right now doesn't do us any good until we scale up production." So from the looks and what I read from this article, it seems like McDonald's basically was just like, "No, I don't want your burger. Go away." And the Impossible Foods was like, "But why? Why?" I just thought that the Impossible Burger article was really funny because the Impossible Burger from Burger King has found out to have 18 million times more estrogen than in a regular burger. That's a lot of estrogen compared to like a regular ass burger. It's just really funny. I think McDonald's may have dodged the bullet on this one, and I think they should just keep moving. I personally haven't had the Impossible Burger yet, but I honestly don't want to. I think anything vegan friendly at fast food joints is kind of not up my alley. I'm sorry, it's not. I'm not gonna eat it. Nope, sorry. I don't eat vegan fast food from, you know, popular chains like that. I would actually rather go to kind of like a little indie shop where they have vegan options. I love vegan food, but I will not eat it from McDonald's or Burger King. That's my opinion on the issue. Okay, so this last article is from Business Insider, and it is about Amazon. And the title is, "Amazon may have to pay close to $22 million after a judge ruled that there was no question it had reneged on a deal to lease office space." I just looked up the word reneged. It kind of means abandoned. So it's another synonym for kind of abandoned stuff. But anyways, the article goes that Amazon may be liable to up to $21.7 million for backing out of a deal with the Durst organization to lease space in the realtor's Midtown Manhattan building, according to the summary judgment issued by the New York Supreme Court. Now, Amazon has a long history of not paying shit. The first time was not paying any taxes, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous for a massive online company like Amazon to not have to pay a dime to taxes. They're a multi-billion dollar company. Losing a few millions is not going to hurt them. But no, they decide, "Well, I need all this money." For what? What are you going to do with all that money? Fucking, I'm looking at this bitch who owns Amazon, the CEO of Amazon, Jeff Bezos. He looks like a fucking trollop. Ah, just... I hate rich people who think that they need more and more money. Yes, I understand that it's their money and they can do whatever they want with it, but they do everything except help America. Which is just so frustrating. Alright, but continuing the article, it says the lawsuit alleged that Amazon signed a letter of intent to lease office space at Durst's 11336 Avenue building back in 2014, which forbade the e-commerce giant from negotiating with any other landlord until it's finalized its decision. Instead, Amazon carried on with negotiating with other landlords. Okay, so basically, Amazon knew what was in the contract, you know. So the letter of intent that Amazon signed, basically, not contract, I'm sorry. Basically, it clearly said, do not negotiate with other landlords until we make a decision. Amazon signed it, and they were like, you got it. And then carried on negotiating with other landlords. Like, it's not that hard. If they would have just been like, oh, we don't think we're going to continue on, thank you very much, and then go talk to other landlords, that would have been fine. But the Durst Corporation basically said and made it clear that they don't want them talking to any other landlords. And Amazon turned their back on the Durst Corporation. But continuing on, Amazon ultimately leased 470,000 square feet of office space from a rival realtor, Vornado Realty Trust, Bloomberg reported in 2014 of November. It just seems like Amazon just fucking knew what they were doing and just said, fuck you, and just did whatever they wanted. And now they think that Amazon thinks that they can get away with it, which they clearly cannot, because the Durst Corporation is coming for them. Durst sued Amazon for $25 million, which included the value of the lease as well as $1.6 million spent on renovations, according to the New York Post. That's also another thing. Like, why would you renovate this space when no finalization has been made? These corporations are fucking dumb. But Amazon, I'm pretty sure Amazon is just going to get away with it, because they always do. There's a court hearing that is set for later in the month of January to determine how much Amazon will pay. Their lawyers are going to fucking just, they're going to make them pay nothing. And it's sad. I try not to buy it from Amazon, but it's so hard. Like, Amazon is a really smart company. Oh, God, Amazon's really smart. They know that in the digital age, people need a company that can do online orders. And Amazon is the biggest one right now. And it just sucks. I try to buy from eBay or from, like, any other people who don't kind of are owned by Amazon. So, it's just really tough. It's tough to get anything online nowadays, because Amazon and eBay are the only two. And I'm not sure about eBay, but we'll have to see if eBay is actually a good person in this whole situation. Alright, and I think that is going to wrap up this episode. Thank you so much, guys, for listening. And remember, you can find my podcast on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, on iTunes Podcasts, on Stitcher, on CastBox. Anywhere where podcasts are broadcast, that's where you'll find me. And until the next episode, I'll see you guys later, okay? Bye! This episode of the Rotten Room Podcast is sponsored by Audible. Audible has a wonderful selection of audiobooks, Audible originals, news, comedy, and so much more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, and entertainers. And right now, you can get a 30-day trial to Audible when you click the link in my description. I have Audible and I love it. I love how easy it is to find the book I want, listen to it, and be on my way, especially because I'm on the go and too busy to stop and read. Right now, I'm listening to Memory Heart's second book. I got this round, More Tales of Debauchery, and it talks about her kind of relationship, you know, her relationship and stuff, and all the shenanigans she gets in with her friends, and how she overcomes being single again after being in a relationship for a long time. It's wonderful. So go to www.audibletrial.com/rrpodcast or click the link in my description to get started right now.